Oh, thank y'all so much for allowing us to come. My beautiful wife Tiffany is down here on the front row. She's holding Micah, our two-year-old. Our five-year-old strolled out over there asleep. She fell asleep on the way over here and hasn't woke up yet. So that means we're in for a long night. She's not going to want to go to sleep when we get home. But God's good. I love the Word of God. My entire life has not been wrapped up in the Word of God as it should, but I am blessed to be a third-generation missionary in this ministry. My grandfather and dad started this ministry in 1968. We're going on 49 years. Where Grandpa was in World War II, a mortar blew up right beside him. He spends the next 3 to 6 months in the hospital. They put him back together. The day he died, 10 years ago, he died with shrapnel in the wall of his left lung. They said if they removed it, he'd bleed to death. So they left it there. He got out of the Army as a chaplain's assistant. He noticed nobody had a copy of the Word of God. He came back to America, moved to Texas, went to J. Frank Norris's college, graduated, worked on staff with him. And God just introduced him to the right man that had a passion and a burden to buy Bibles and get Bibles to the foreign field. He says he remembers his conversation. He was in his office and he was talking to him about the ministry. And he says, there's one thing wrong with what you're doing. He said, what's that? And he says, it's the church's responsibility to print the Word of God. He said, he leaned over his desk and said, then what are you going to do about it, Bob? And he says, you're right. It's up to us to do something about it. My 12-year-old dad was learning how to print at the age of 14. So they launched the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation in 1968. My dad has been in full-time ministry since he was 12. So it's a blessing to be third generation. I'm now 37. I'm working with him for 10 years. Grew up in this ministry, left when I was 16. So that just kind of gives you a rundown of my life in the ministry. But I remember just years of working with my grandfather growing up from the time I was old enough to walk to the time I was 16, just watching him pray and preach and tell people about this ministry, how important it is to get people the Word of God. If we believe it is the power of God unto salvation, then it is our responsibility to get people the Word of God. I love the fact last year we were able to do 1.5 million copies of the Word of God. We do a lot more whole Bibles than we do anything. So it's a low number because we don't do a lot of John and Romans and New Testaments. Our whole Bibles is what we do. So we got a goal of 2 million this year. So that's going to take 24 trailer loads of paper to get it. We did 19 last year. A trailer load of paper costs $35,000 every time it pulls up to the docks in the ministry. So we need $70,000 every month just in paper. That's not counting cover stock, glue, and everything else, shipping to get the Word of God. We print these and we give them to the missionaries. It don't cost them a thing. Some of them offer to do the shipping because it's easy for them to write to their supporting churches. But these Bibles are given to the missionaries. We do not charge them a thing. I've got a Bible in my hand. It's actually just a New Testament. It's a Zomi. I want to tell you about it, then I'll get into the message. That this Bible is unique. This Bible is the first one that the Zomi people had in their language from the right text. So we had the privilege of printing it last year. It took us some work working with another organization and translated it. We got permission to print 10,000 of them. And we printed them for just the stateside churches in America. There was 10,000 known refugees in America. So that's why we asked for 10,000. So we printed them. A church from Texas came down, collated them, bound them, and put them together and took them back with them. And they said what they saw they did not expect. They took them back over there, passed them out on that Sunday. And that Sunday night after church, a lady called about midnight and said, Pastor, get over here. I need to talk to you. He said, can it wait till in the morning? He said, no, sir. According to that book you gave me this morning, I'm lost and on my way to hell. Amen. So he went over there, led her to Christ. And the next morning he said half his church was on his porch waiting to talk to him when he woke up. He said, Pastor, we need to talk to you about what's in this book. So the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. We can get people the word of God. People will get saved because of the power of God that's in it. I'll share more with you during the message real quickly. I love, how many of us love receiving gifts? Everybody loves receiving gifts. Christmas, we've made a multi-billion dollar industry. I mean, I love the fact that my kids, I mean, Christmas really, as you get older, is, you know, is very important to you. Receiving the gift part is more of the family part. But I love my five-year-old, two-year-old. They got we got in our home for the first time in their lives, home by ourselves. So we got to spend a little this Christmas morning together. And I love the fact that just the lights just flicker in their mind when they're open a present and they're enjoying themselves and the fun that we're having. And we've made it a multi-billion-dollar industry. We give gifts for Valentine's. We give gifts for anniversaries. We give gifts for birthdays. I mean, one of my favorite times was when we were having a Serenity, the church. They got together. We're trendsetters at our church. We've been there all our life. So they know that if they change something, they better do it when we're up. So every time they've always had baby showers, they'd have cake and ice cream and they would bring all these presents and people would bring their presents to the expectant mother, but not us. We're trendsetters. So they set this beautiful table in the back of the auditorium and said, we're going to put it out for 2 weeks. If you want to bring the Lamont something, bring them. I said, where's the cake? Man, I mean, I'm excited about this baby shower. And they said, we're just going to put a table back there. You know, I was excited about it. They didn't have to do it. But the gifts were precious. I mean, I remember opening some of them with my wife, and it was some of the cutest outfits for Serenity that you'd ever seen. I mean, oh, ain't that precious? I mean, we've made gift-giving a multi-billion dollar industry. We give gifts for everything. So I want to just real quickly, I want to hit on the subject of giving the greatest gift you'll ever give. I mean, just for $2.50, we can produce a whole Bible and put it on the foreign field in somebody's hands. We've got missionaries that are literally begging for them. Right now, we could not keep the presses running enough this year just to meet the request that we've got already. I mean, we just sent a container to Kenya. We're working on one for Croatia. We're working on one for the Philippines. We're working on one for Burma. And we're also working on one for Brazil and what's that other Portuguese place? It's not Myanmar. It's I'll think of it in a minute. But there's just like there's six or seven different countries that we're literally working on full containers to send them the living word of God. And this is the greatest gift that you could ever give somebody. I love the fact that Isaiah 55:11 tells you from the word of God that it says, my word shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that whereunto you sent it. I mean, it's a beautiful promise that God has promised us wherever he sends it, it will do what he wants it to do. I mean, he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So he is wanting somebody and everybody to get them a copy of the word of God. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. How can they be happy? How can they have a vision for the work of God without the Word of God if they have no copy of the Word of God? They can't do it. There's two things I want you to notice real quickly. The first thing is it's amazing ministry. The ministry of the Word of God is powerful. The beautiful thing about this is when you send the Word of God to the lost and dying world, somebody is going to get saved as a result of this. We sent three containers. We worked with other ministries. We sent a total of 1 million scriptures. The ministry did 2 containers of whole Bibles, 1 container of English Tagalog New Testaments. Then we sent another container to the officials that the mayor got a hold of this project, said, if you'll send us another container of whole Bibles, I will promise you I will get a Bible in the hands of every official in Baguio City. We could not turn that down, so we took advantage of it. We loaded one up, sent it to him. But as a result of that, it was called A Million Scriptures to Baguio City. And in the first week, 124,000 people had hit the website saying they got saved and wanted to know what to do next. I mean, this is a beautiful thing when you give somebody a copy of the Word of God. The missionaries alone tell you they can walk down the street and say, hey, I'd like to give you something. And it opens up the door for them to get a Bible, and I says, what is this? And they'll say, it's the Word of God, and they'll start sharing with them, and they say they'll lead people to Christ as a result of that. You see the ministry of salvation. You see Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is allowed to move in a person's heart and speak through the Word of God. That's why if you have special time with the Word of God, God speaks to you, He convicts you, and He works and molds in your life, making you more like Christ-like, if you have a copy of the Word of God. You not only see salvation, you see growth. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Have you ever thought about how life would be without the Word of God? It'd be pretty bad. I wouldn't be able to grow. I wouldn't be able to get up here. I wouldn't be able to study. Your pastor wouldn't be able to study and get up here every Sunday and Wednesday and preach the Word of God. That's why I'm a firm believer. You cannot do the work of God without the Word of God. You see the salvation, you see the growth, and you see the edification. I was at a home, and I made several trips into New York. And a pastor friend of mine called me and said, Shannon, you got a Chinese Bible? I said, I've got several. He said, send me one. I send him one. And a lady, let's get this straight. A lot of people are confused over this. China is not a closed country inside China. China is one of the largest Bible manufacturers and printers in the nation. But they make them for profit. In some providence, it is illegal to own Bibles in China. Not all of them, but some of them. Just depending on the area and the government in that area. So it would be like Tennessee, if our government decided to ban Bibles and take away our guns, it would be something similar to that. Because a lot of people get confused. Well, I thought you can read Bibles. Some you can, some you can't in China. So we were talking, he asked me for a Bible, I sent him one, this lady writes him a letter and says, I just wanted to let you know I smuggled the Bible in, and right now I have the copy of the Word of God. I mean, I was excited, thrilled. The lady 2 months later says, I just wanted to give you an update. Thank you for the Word of God. Right now, everybody in my family is handwriting them a copy so they can have a copy of the Word of God. Man, I got broke down. I mean, I was just like, wow. I mean, how many more do you want? But just to own sometimes in certain areas, just to own a Bible they're willing to die for. And yet, we've got 7 or 8 of them. You see the ministry of the Word of God. I want to show you the ministry of its abounding multiplication. You see the expectancy. The scriptures you sponsor and you put together very hand with your ship to thousands of miles will stay on the foreign country in the home of that precious soul as long as after the missionary had left. If you'd have got to see the DVD, I'm going to leave it with you. I hope that you'll be able to watch it. Or you can visit our website and watch it. But on that DVD, opening that DVD is a friend of mine. That friend of mine was a missionary to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is a closed country. He was arrested in front of his family, taken to the airport, and said, get out of here and never come back. I'd sent him several hundreds of Bibles, and I was so proud that they got to stay. You know, there's an expectancy in the Word of God. It's going to get to stay way longer than the missionary. We're not trying to replace the missionary. We're trying to give them the tools that God is to use what God has called them to do. But there is an advantage because sometimes there's going to be missionaries that have to leave, but the Word of God still gets to stay. You see the expectancy. You see the expansion. It is estimated that every Bible that we see on the mission field, that 8 to 20 people actually get to see it, read it. I mean, that's a pretty good ministry in itself. I mean, just to think, we give a Bible out here in America, they put it, I mean, I have seen it done. They'll take their Bible and they'll look, oh, that's pretty. They'll set it down. Not over there on the foreign field. Pastor's going to see this next week. You give them something that contains the Word of God, they'll read it. They'll get so excited and they'll get so energized that they'll go home and they'll tell mom and dad, say, hey, let me read you this. And now if they got kids, they'll go over there and they'll read it to them. And I mean, it's just like a flood of opportunity when you give them the Word of God, that it just opens up so many avenues and so many doors that it reaches somewhere between 8 to 20 people. It is estimated that nearly 70% of the world's population has no copy of the Word of God. That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to get people the Word of God while we still can and while we still have the freedom to print it and preach it. I had a friend, I've got a Bible and a display back there. It's called the Camp Kampala. It's a Wayanan Bible to Suriname. And they went over there in the early 60s and they learned their language. They learned how to read and write. They had to teach the Indians how to read and write while translating their Bible. And nearly 50 years into making that project, we put it into print and we gave it to them. And they took it over there. And he was telling me, he says, I just want to share with you one of these stories that a man that saw saved early in our ministry. He came up to me and said, can I get a Bible? I said, absolutely. So he gave him one of them Bibles and he says, can I get one for my kid? He's homesick. He said, absolutely. He says, can I get one for my grandchild? He says, sir, I've known you all my life. You don't have any grandchild. He says, yeah, but I've lived my entire life without the Word of God and I don't want my grandchildren to. There's an expectancy. There's an expansion. Thirdly, you see the evangelistic cycle. Proverbs 11:30 is my life verse, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know, one is led to Christ by the Word. He then grows in the Word given him. Finally, he shares Christ with the Word. It's just a continual cycle. I got a letter from a missionary in Mexico that just happened to get one copy of our New Testament. He says, I just wanted to let you know that nobody in our village had one. He says, I took it door knocking and I won 200 people to Christ. Then he says, I got told all them about Jesus, and he says, I'm going down the road and I'm going to go tell them about Jesus. He said, thank you for sending me that New Testament. You see, there's an unending avenue when you have to do with the Word of God. There's untapped potential, and I mean opportunity. I mean, you got, what if every church and believer caught a vision of doing all we could to get the printed Word of God to the lost and dying world? God commands it's our responsibility. You see, a mother from Ukraine once shared with me a story of, I met her in Washington State, and she made this statement to me. She said, Brother Lamont, I says, I want to tell you thank you for what you're doing. I said, well, thank you. It's an honor. He said, but you don't understand, Brother Lamont. I lived in Ukraine for probably 15 years of my life, but when I was born until the time we were about 15 and 16. And he says, I was the oldest of the four kids, and it was under great persecution, and the government would come in and search your house if they suspected you had a Bible or anything. If They would come in, and this one day they came in, they beat on the door. I took a wrapper and I wrapped my Bible up, put it up in the fireplace, and we were reading it as a family. And he says, as they were ransacking my house, we looked over there in that Bible, it just caught fire. He says it was probably 10 years before we had another copy of the Word of God. He says it was only till we moved to America that we got one. And he says, we've been over here and I spend time in my Bible because of that daily, many times, more than once. And he says, I've noticed around me that there is a complacency and a lack of love for the Word of God that the people just don't understand because they've never lived without the Word of God. You see, there's an untapped potential. See, what you give, when you give the greatest gift of God's Word, you give hope. You give faith, you give comfort, you give wisdom, you give guidance, you give truth. You give courage, you give the sword of the Spirit, you give light, you give life, you give new song. You give strength, you give joy, you give ministry. You give sight, you give milk, you give meat, you give the bread of life. You give cleansing, you give grace, you give forgiveness, you give mercy, you give freedom, you give salvation. Most of all, you're giving them Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the question is, what will you do in 2017 to print the Word of God? How much more will you love your Word of God? How much more will you be passionate about your Bible? How much more will you want your fellow neighbor in Uganda, Kenya, Sudan? Sudan is in turmoil. Just not too many months ago, I read where ISIS came in and forced them into a church building and set up the church building on fire. We're working on some for Sudan. So what will you do in 2017 to get somebody the living, breathing Word of God? I ask you, would you come?